From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
We welcome you to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. Please join us now for a message from God's Word, brought by Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. In the course of the broadcast, we'll also hear some Christ-honoring sacred music, as well as information as to how you can receive some of the gospel literature we offer without charge or obligation. For a number of weeks now, Dr. Cairns has been preaching a series of messages on the doctrine of the Holy Spirit. Today, he continues to deal with a subject which has perplexed many of God's people through the years, the matter of the leading of the Holy Spirit. There's a lot of confusion and misinformation about this issue, something which is of vital importance to every sincere believer in Christ. In the course of the message, Dr. Cairns is emphasizing three important words that are the key to the Holy Spirit's leading: God's Word, God's Way, and God's Will. Before coming to the message, Dr. Cairns takes a few minutes to call attention to his booklet, A New Beginning, a publication designed for those who are serious about learning how to be saved and how to grow in the Christian life. Today he speaks about God's attitude towards sin and how he deals with it in a brief comment on the justice of God.
What would you say is most essential to have true knowledge and wisdom? Education? A good environment? Good opportunities? I have no doubt these things are very, very important. But the Bible says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Now, there's not much talk nowadays about the fear of God. The fear of God is a theme in Scripture that gets a lot of prominence. The Bible tells us that God is greatly to be feared. He's to be had in reverence. God is not some glorified Santa Claus. He's not some senile old man stroking his white beard, sitting up there remotely in the heavens. God is our Creator. God is our upholder. God is the high and lofty one who inhabits eternity, whose name is holy. God hates sin. God is angry with the wicked every day. God is the God of absolute justice. God is the God of eternity. And God is the one who will bring sinners down to destruction for their sin. He is to be feared. He is all-powerful. There is none can deliver out of his hand. There is none can escape from his grasp. There is none can get from the sphere of his knowledge. He sees all we do. He understands every motive of the heart. Every secret of our soul is open and bare to him. There is nothing hid from the eyes of him with whom we have to do. God is greatly to be feared. There is this aspect then in the fear of God, that the greatness of God should strike poor, little, wretched, miserable, wicked sinners with such a feeling of his wonderful greatness and their own rottenness that they tremble at the thought of meeting him in their sin. But in Scripture, the fear of God is almost a synonym for the true worship of God. When God is greatly to be feared, it's not just that he's to be trembled before, that you're in abject terror. Now, if you're going to go on as a sinner rebelling against God, you've every reason to feel terror. But the fear of God is not merely speaking of sinners trembling in terror. It is speaking of sinners recognizing what God says about himself, how he has revealed himself in Scripture, bowing before him, acknowledging him as their God and their Savior, coming humbly and reverently before him to bow before him, bow the knee, confess him as their God and their Savior, and take him at his word. The fear of God is very, very closely related to the scriptural worship of God. Now bring these things together. If you are out of Christ, you'll find it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. It's a terrible and tragic thing for a sinner to meet God unprepared, still in his sin. I could not begin to describe the horrors of a lost eternity, the reality of the lake of fire, what it is to be damned forever. If you're unsaved and you're still rebelling, you've every cause to tremble. But oh, let me tell you that God is to be worshipped. The Bible sets before you the way whereby you can come near to God. Jesus Christ has come into the world to bring you near to him, near to God, bring you and reconcile you to God, destroy the enmity between you and God, remove from you the curse and the wrath of God, and bring you into the enjoyment of all the love and the mercy and the kindness of God for time and for eternity. The fear of God. Will you tremble? And will you be in terror for all eternity? Or will you worship, bow before him, receive him, know him as your God, your Redeemer in Christ?
With my whole heart I trust you. With my whole I seek you, with my whole heart I rest in you, my Lord, loving Lord of all my heart. With your whole heart you love me, with your whole heart you forgive me, with your whole heart you lift me.
You're listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We're greatly encouraged by the response of you, our listeners, to these broadcasts. Every day we've been receiving letters by mail, by email, and we've been receiving phone calls. Some of you want to say thank you and tell us how much the Lord has blessed his word to your heart. Some of you have told us of life-changing experiences through the preaching of God's Word. Some of you have written to ask for the literature that we offer here on the program, such as A New Beginning. This booklet is a plain man's guide to the way of salvation and going on with God. For a free copy of A New Beginning or of any of the other literature we mention, please contact us. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may call us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Also, if you enjoy the program, you may like to join us on our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget that word radio, ltbsradio.com. In this connection, we'd like to call your attention to a new feature on the website. During recent months, Dr. Cairns has been receiving questions from both believers and non-believers regarding various issues, such as, are there true prophets in the church today? Or, why does God allow suffering? The LTBS radio website now contains video clips of Dr. Cairns providing answers to these and many other questions. These video portions are listed under Q&A with Alan Cairns. You're sure to find these presentations to be informative and enlightening. Q&A with Alan Cairns is found on ltbsradio.com.
Leading you into a knowledge of the Bible, then the Lord is not leading you at all. And when you get this down, you will realize that this business of making a decision, walking an aisle, signing a card, putting up your hand to join the church, and that makes you a Christian, and you never again have an interest in the Bible. You never come to know anything of the Bible. There is no heart desire for the Bible. There is no getting into the Bible. Those things, decisions, etc., are but counterfeits of true Christianity, and you have the evidence, solid evidence, of the absence of the leading of the Spirit of God. Now you can tell me you've got visions. I want to tell you they are not of God. You can tell me you hear voices. They're of the devil or of your own overwrought imagination. You can tell me that you've had wonderful experiences. But I tell you today in the name of Jesus Christ and in the authority of that word, that the very first action of the leading Spirit of God is to lead you to the book of God. And if He hasn't led you into Scripture, then He isn't leading you at all. Not only does He lead you to the Scripture, to give an understanding of the gospel, and I'm being deliberately brief in that, for I've spent the last two Sunday mornings dealing with the Holy Ghost, really, and the mind of the Christian and how He illuminates him, etc. Not only does He lead you to the book and lead you to the Christ who is at the heart of the book and leads you into an understanding of the gospel, not only does He anoint you to give you a mind to receive the Word of God, but having done so, He leads you in your life in accordance with this Bible. The Spirit of truth leads according to the Word of truth. A second proposition, therefore, I'm making. The first was that if the Holy Spirit hasn't led you to the Bible, He hasn't led you at all. The second is that the Holy Ghost never leads in opposition to this written Word of God. Never. There are so many times when people wonder, what is the Lord's will in a given realm? What is the Lord's will? And very often the Bible has already spoken.
For instance, you get a person who's in a church that's apostate, preaches another gospel, denies Jesus Christ. I've talked over the years to many such people, and they say, well, when the Lord shows me that it's the will of God for me to get out, then I'll get out. But my friend, the Lord has already spoken. The Lord has already said, come out from among them and be separate. The Lord has already said, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. The Lord has already spoken. And when the Bible speaks, there is no need of further revelation. This is true of saint and sinner. I remember speaking many years ago to a young woman about her soul. And she said, I know it's all true. And when the Lord gives me some special feeling, some special revelation, then I'll come to Christ. And it was only an excuse to go on and sin. I told her what I tell you, that the Lord has given you that revelation in His Word. He has given you that commandment in His Word. He has given you the warrant in His Word to come to Jesus Christ. And when the Bible speaks, you ought to obey. Because if you do anything else, you are certainly not going according to the leading of the Word of God. You remember the words of Isaiah chapter 8 and verse 20, to the law and to the testimony. That's always your appeal. To the law and to the testimony. If they don't agree with this, if they don't speak according to this word, then it is because there is no light in them. Peter took up the same idea of light in 2 Peter 1:19, and he says, we have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place. This is the light of the leading of the Spirit of God. He leads you to and through the Word. But then the Holy Ghost leads the Christian not only into God's Word, but He leads him in God's way. Now this is often overlooked in Romans chapter 8. I want you to notice very carefully the connection in Romans 8 between verse 13 and verse 14. If ye live after the flesh, you shall die. Now let me just stop and interject something here. When I was a young preacher, I used to think that that was saying to Christians, if you live after the flesh, if you live as a Christian in a carnal manner, death will come into your life. And I remember thinking of death to your love for souls, death to your love for the Bible, death to the place of prayer in your life, and all those things. Sounds good, but it's not true. He's saying if you live habitually, continually, as the disposition of your life, as the desire of your heart, as the way to be satisfied, if you live your life after the flesh, you're not saved. Now, he's not preaching perfection for Christians. They're not perfect. We'll go on to see that. They're not perfect. But nonetheless, whereas the ungodly man is living his life on one plane only, the believer in Jesus Christ has a higher principle within him because he has the Holy Spirit within him. And the Holy Spirit is striving against the flesh and conflicting ever with the mind of the flesh. And against the darkness of the fleshly mind, He is giving the light of the gospel. Against the depravity of the fleshly desires, He is giving the impulsion and inner compulsion of Christian holiness. But if you are habitually and only living after the flesh, Paul says you'll die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, if you will put to death the deeds of the body, if there is within you that desire, that yearning to put to death the body, to make not provision for the flesh, but to live according to the mind of God, if you will mortify through the Spirit the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. What is the leading of the Spirit of God chiefly concerned with? It's chiefly concerned with holiness. The leading of the Spirit of God is that which leads a believer into the very center of the ways of the Lord. That he walks in God's way. He walks in the way of holiness. In Proverbs 8 and 20, divine wisdom says, I lead in the way of righteousness in the midst of the paths of judgment. I lead in the way of righteousness. The leading of the Spirit of God is always a leading into righteousness and into holiness. Now, Paul throws light on this over in the book of Galatians, chapter 5. If you look at verse 16, he says, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit. Now we all know that, but we don't pay enough attention to the next statement. And the Spirit against the flesh. I want you to notice that. The Spirit lusteth against the flesh. Now I'm going to show you that this is dealing with the leading of the Spirit. Down in verse 18 of Galatians 5 he says, if ye be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. It's exactly the same sentiment as Romans 8:14. He's speaking of the leading of the Spirit here. And he's saying, as the Spirit leads the believer, he lusts against the flesh. The word lust does not necessarily in Scripture mean sinful desire. It means strong, overwhelming desire. And as the flesh overwhelmingly longs to conquer the Spirit, so the Spirit overwhelmingly longs in the believer to conquer the flesh. He desires the conquest of the flesh in the believer. Now turn over to the book of James and you'll see how James takes the very same thought. James 4 and verse 5. Now he's castigating Christians for spiritual adultery, friendship with the world. And he says, verse 4, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Do ye think that the Scripture saith in thee, in the Spirit that dwelleth in us, lusteth to envy? Now, to look at the verse as it appears in the English translation, most people are going to say, well, the Spirit that is in us is the wicked, depraved spirit that's always lusting to envy. But that's the very opposite to what James is saying. He is arguing against Christians being carnal. And he says, do you think that it is in vain and an empty fashion that the Scripture says, and this is the meaning, the Spirit who took up his abode in us longs with jealous envy. The Holy Spirit, whom God has sent to take up his abode in us, longs with jealousy for the holiness of the Christian. Just as in the Ten Commandments, from the throne of heaven, God said, the Lord thy God is a jealous God. So here James says, the Holy Spirit longs with a jealous envy in the believer. In other words, he stirs up strong desires in a Christian because he is jealous for the testimony of that Christian. He's jealous that that Christian would walk in ways of holiness. Let me say, my friend, here is one very strong evidence of the leading of the Holy Spirit. If there are within the believer's breast strong desires stirred up after holiness, strong desires to overcome the flesh, sometimes therefore strong mourning over sin, thank God there is the evidence of the leading of the Spirit of God. He leads us to the Word. He leads us in the way of holiness.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at faithfpc@freepres.org. That's faithfpc@freepres.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.freepres.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free, 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us once again as we let the Bible speak.